Hello everyone and welcome back to Mound Talk with Sioux City Explorers Manager Steve Montgomery. Mound Talk is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux City Manager questions about the Explorers, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Steve's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, Steve provides some team updates for us. He explains the process it takes for a player to have his contract purchased by an affiliate club. And would Steve bean Rob? Let's find out on Mound Talk. Well, let's welcome back Manager Steve Montgomery. Steve, do you have team updates for us?
Yeah, you know, we've come to terms with or released it. We signed him probably a week and a half ago. But Luis Durango, a kid out of Panama, he's an outfielder, has a couple cups of coffee in the big leagues. Speed guy, very similar to a Campana-type guy. 5'9", one thing he does do, he switch hits. So it brings a little bit, obviously, switch hitting brings a little bit of balance to your lineup. You know, he's a top-of-the-order type guy, run scorer. You know, had to sit out 2016 with some illness to a family member, but played this past year in Panama in winter ball, had a good year. Seems like his stolen bases are back up and everything. So, you know, with the type of style that we like to play, running the bases, playing the game hard, you know, it kind of fits what we're looking for. And then we signed a AAA guy, pitcher by the name of Luis Mateo, Dominican kid, pitched AAA last year, had respectable numbers, I think like a 4.8 ERA. He wants to get back to a more familiar role in starting, so we're going to move him into the rotation or let him vie for a spot in the rotation, I should say, and see where that in spring training, those, you know, 10, 14 days, whatever it is, let him get his feet wet and, you know, see if he can start. So we're excited about those two signings. You know, we have a couple that are still out there that we that we're going to be releasing later in this week. Should make it exciting for Explorers fans. There's a couple big names, one familiar name. And, you know, we're just excited about where we stand right now as a team.
I do want to ask about the Luis Mateo signing off of something you said. When a player is interested in coming and playing for you and says, "Hey, I want to be a starter, I want to close or whatever," do you commit to that, or you tell them, "Hey, look, you're going to have to earn that"?
I usually tell them they got to earn it. You know, unless it's a guy that, you know, has pretty much done everything. You know, let's say has been a starting pitcher his whole career, and then all of a sudden tells me he wants to close, or vice versa, you know, then you're a little hesitant. But, you know, a guy like Mateo, he has, if you look in his career, he has 10 starts 1 year, 8 starts another, 15, and then, you know, he appears in 40 games. So it's kind of a guy who looked like he bounced around from maybe middle relief to a spot start or something like that. So, you know, I watched a game on YouTube, some highlights of him starting. This was back in the Florida State League, so I think it was like 2014, 2013, somewhere around in there. And he had good velo. He had that, and I saw him pitch out of the pen in AAA last year in Vegas. So, you know, when you're talking about an older type guy, what's best for his career and what's best to get him another shot at MLB, we look at, we talk about with the agent, we talk about with the player, and we do what's kind of best for his career. But, you know, like on the flip side of that, I tell them all the time, you know, I'll do everything in my power to get you out of there, but at the end of the day, I'm judged on my record, and that's wins and losses, and I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the Sioux City Explorers to win baseball games as well.
Makes perfect sense. Well, let's head to fan questions. We start with Craig, who's got a few for you. The first one is, have you ever been starstruck in the American Association, whether it's seeing a former major leaguer or even landing a big name for the Explorers? And if so, did you seek a photo or autograph?
I've never done that. You know, even, you know, the one thing I wish I had in my collection, and to be honest, and I don't have a collection. If you walk into my office, there's nothing hanging Explorers. There's nothing, you know, you wouldn't even think it's a baseball manager's office except for lineup cards and stuff like that. But the one thing I do wish I had was a 2015 team autograph ball. I really wish I had that just because it was such a special team. You know, we set the wins record and stuff like that. But, you know, when you see these guys, they're just guys just like us. You know, they put their pants on the same way we do. And at the end of the day, they're players, and you're their manager. So I don't get starstruck at all. I don't seek autographs off. I think one of the best players in American Association history is on my team, and Nate Sampson. And I talk to Nate just like I'm talking to you right now. We have conversations about family. I ask him how his wife is. You know, just everyday conversations. And you start to develop a relationship off the field as far as their family, future, stuff like that. And, you know, it goes way beyond baseball sometimes, and you care about these guys as individuals as well. And, you know, Reggie Abercrombie is another name that comes to mind. I mean, Reggie has been playing in this league forever. He's great for the league. He's great for the city of Winnipeg. And, you know, he's a joy to watch on the field. He plays hard. He's 30. I don't know how old he is. He's like 39, 38 years old. He looks like he's trapped inside of a body that's 25. His body's impeccable. And he plays 100 games every year. And he leads that team on and off the field. I know he does a lot of community stuff and autographs and stuff like that. But, you know, as a manager, you don't get awestruck. But it's just great to see guys like that that give back to the community and have put the uniform on multiple years. But at the end of the day, we're also trying to move those guys on, because I don't think it's anybody's goal to stay in independent ball.
Craig would also like to know, he says, on that note, how did the Luis Severino meeting occur?
That's pretty funny how that one occurred. Is my son's birthday's coming up at the end of March, and he wanted an early birthday present. He wanted a pair of AirPods for his phone, I guess, so that, you know, he could, you know, listen to his phone music while he was in school and not get caught, pretty much, is how I assume that it's going down. But he wanted them, so we went to the mall, he got them, and he just happened to be walking by Gucci. And my son is a Gucci fan. Don't ask me why, because the stuff is ridiculously priced, but he wanted to go into Gucci. So my wife said, yeah, go ahead and go in there. So he's walking around in there, and then next thing you know, my son starts looking at this guy, and he's like, he looks familiar. And then he asked the store guy, and he said, that's Luis Severino with the Yankees. So my son was real, like, scared. She didn't want to go ask him. So my wife called me and said, Luis Severino's in the store with Tevin. I said, get a picture. If he wants one, or if he wants an autograph, whatever he wants, I'm sure the guy will do whatever in a store, you know, because he's in there with his wife. His wife was getting some purses or something. And so my son walked up to him, asked him if he could take a picture. And, you know, he was gracious enough to, you know, take a picture with my son and shake his hand. And, you know, my son thought that was pretty cool. The one thing that my son couldn't believe was how small he was. He wasn't a big, tall guy. He's only like 6'1". But my son did say, man, he's got a big lower half and he's got big arms. So you can understand why he throws 100 miles an hour.
Wow. Craig would like to know, he says, what is the process that goes into a player signing a contract with an affiliated organization?
Well, I think the first thing is that they call the managers up. They let them know that that they're interested in purchasing, you know, let's just say Steve Montgomery's contract. The manager will say, okay, where are you thinking about sending them? They get all the details for the player. And normally we get that guy's phone number and we have the player call him. And, you know, the player works out the deal, or the agent works out the deal as far as the finances go and stuff and what level they're being sent to. I've been a part of guys saying no because, you know, they're a AA, AAA player and they want to send them to the Midwest League. I've seen guys say, no, I'm not going there. I'm playing at a higher level here. But, you know, most guys will jump on the opportunity to get back. It gets them insurance. It resets their clock for school. There's a lot of things that go into it that the average fan doesn't know. And then, you know, once they work out the details, the league will send a purchase agreement to that organization. They sign it, our league signs it, and then the player's gone. We normally will hold the player out of that night's game so that he doesn't get hurt or injured or something crazy happen, so that he gets his an opportunity to go back and get with a major league team.
Excellent. Sean would like to know, says, what is the challenge in signing a player when they are married and the wife wants to be with her husband while he is playing for the Explorers?
Oh, it's definitely a challenge. You know, you only have so many housings that you can give out, you know, and we have to have host families that are willing to take a wife. And there's crazy requests. Let me tell you, it's just not wives. It's sometimes dogs. Who knows, parrots. It's crazy sometimes, the requests, but you try to find the right fit for them to be comfortable and to be happy. And, you know, I always say, I think it's always a good thing sometimes that if they bring their wives, because as a host family, you know, if you have single guys have a tendency of maybe going out at night and stuff like that. But if they have a wife, they come home, they watch a movie, they go to bed. So sometimes I think it's more beneficial to have your wife there because, you know, they seem to have a little more relaxed atmosphere, I guess you would say, instead of going out. And but yeah, it's a challenge sometimes to get families to take two people. I mean, it's very, very challenging, but you know, we're very fortunate. We have a good host family coordinator, and we have real good host families that have been very, very accommodating to my players and their requests.
Lonnie would like to know, how do you think your relationship with opposing managers in the league has changed from when you first got to the Explorers job?
I don't think I'm well-liked. You know, I was well-liked when I took the job, I think, but, you know, now it's, you know, I got friends, and, you know, we're all cordial to one another, but I don't think I'm best friends with a lot of different people because, you know, I think we've turned it around a little bit in Sioux City, and, you know, everyone's your best friend when they're beating you, and then when you're beating them, they don't like you. So I think it varies year to year, and, you know, I have nothing but respect for all these managers in my league, the 12 managers that do it. They do a fantastic job. It's a very, very hard, demanding job, and it's a job that is a lot of time-consuming, a lot of phone, a lot of, you know, reading things off paper, a lot of emails, just a lot of different measures. But I'm very, very, very fortunate to have Bobby Post. I can't give Bobby Post enough credit. Bobby Post has been, you know, if I'm Batman, he's my Robin. You know what I mean? He is my main man that I trust, I go to. We bounce a lot of different players off each other, and you know, he brings names to the table. I bring names to the table, and that's really it's the days of it being a one man show where it's just one guy doing player procurement is really over, because you just can't keep up with all the phone calls and the demands and trying to raise a family and stuff like that. So Bobby has really helped out in that aspect. And, you know, it's a hard, demanding job, but, you know, we love to do it. But, you know, as far as the relationships go, I would like to think that, you know, I'm friends with all of them, but at the end of the day, you're trying to beat each other too. You know what I mean? And, yeah, and it's hard. I'm sure that, you know, the two financial leaders, you know, I just look at the president of the United States and Russia, at the end of the day, they're leaders and they're trying to one up each other all the time. And, you know, that's kind of like what it is in baseball. We're trying to beat each other. So, you know, sometimes we don't see eye to eye. Sometimes we get in arguments, but at the end of the day, I respect what they do. And, I hope they respect what I do.
Jim would like to know, he says, I don't mean this in any kind of prejudicial way, just an observation. It seems that the American Association did not have a lot of Latin American players in years past, but there have been a lot of signings this year. Do you think Latin players may not have thought independent ball was a great option, but seeing players like Winston Abreu, Oscar Mesa, and Victor Capion may be opening their eyes to see what a great league this is to play in?
I think a little bit of it is visa length, how long it takes to get visas and various things of that nature. Is it a transfer? There's a lot of things that go into Latin players that the general public doesn't know about, you know, getting them into the United States with a work visa, and that, which is a P1 visa, and then getting them into Canada, you got to get them another visa and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that go into having a Latin player. I don't think it's per se that it hasn't been we haven't wanted Latin players, but there's a cost that comes along with it. I mean, it's $450 per visa that you bring in, plus you're looking at a lot more expensive flight, plus the wait time of the visa. I had a guy last year that didn't get there till the second to last exhibition game. His visa finally came in, and when he showed up, he wasn't as good as what I had seen out of other players, and I released him the next day. And, you know, I look at that, and I'm like, I just cost my organization $450, plus let's just say $1,200 for a flight there to and from. I just cost them $1,650, where I probably could have brought in four American players to do that. So you got to do your due diligence on the Latin player, and hopefully they pan out to you. I've had some real good ones in the past. Jose Flores comes to mind, where he was from Venezuela. He really, really good closer for me. Now he's in big league camp with the Giants. So I just think it's more so of a visa, money, and stuff like that.
Eric asks, he says, why was the Big Ten tournament so early this year? I don't get that idea at all.
I don't get it either, because I didn't even know it was the tournament. I thought they were regular season games. And then I looked, and I'm like, wait a minute. Minnesota's not the 12th team in the nation when they were playing somebody. I was like, what the heck? And then, yeah, I don't get it, why they did it so early. Maybe they wanted to, something to do with spring break. I mean, I have no idea. But, you know, normally the Big Ten was the last tournament game played on Selection Sunday. And they played normally, I think it was a 3 o'clock game. It might even been later, a 5 o'clock game. And then the bracket would come out. And I don't know why they did it early. It kind of confused me a little bit. I didn't even know it was tournament play, but it's been, you know, Michigan coming all the way out of nowhere. And the thing that surprises me the most about it is now, where does Michigan State fall? I remember I had them as a one seed the last conversation we had, but now you're going to have a week off before the selection committee starts and they start picking the brackets and stuff. Where do they fall to? Now if a guy like a Virginia and Duke get to the final, do both of them get one seeds because they're playing later and the competitions committee gets to see them closer to Selection Sunday? I'm going to be curious to see when this bracket comes out where everybody gets seated, because I feel there's eight teams that can win the national championship. You can write the other, you know, 350 teams off. I think it's down to eight teams that can win the championship, but we'll see what happens.
Speaking of that, Brad says, I am a fan of college basketball when there are like 15 teams that could win it all. Some like the powerhouse Kentucky 40-0 team. Where do you stand?
Like I said, I think there is eight teams that can win it, in my opinion. You know, I like the balance of where we're at in college basketball. But at the same time, I think everybody likes a 40-0 team too. I do. You know, I think my list, and this is just off the top of my head, Arizona. I like Arizona, even though they've stumbled a little bit and they've had some distractions. Duke, Gonzaga, Michigan State, North Carolina, Purdue, Villanova, and Virginia, I think, are my top eight teams going in. That doesn't mean someone else can't surprise you. You know, there's some dark horses in this year. An Auburn is a dark horse. Clemson, Butler, you always got to respect. So there are some dark horses that can go. But if you're talking about the top eight teams, I think I mentioned them. And, you know, we'll see if one of those eight end up winning it. But, you know, I really like Arizona. I do. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. I think they feel like they've been slighted with this investigation. Whether or not it's true with Sean Miller, we'll find out in the future. But, you know, he has everybody believing in that locker room that the NCAA is out to get them. And so they're playing with a little chip on their shoulder. So you might see them make a run.
Ryan says, it looks like Cleveland is leaning toward that kid from Penn State with the number one pick. I like that choice. How about you?
I do. I mentioned it the last time. Do not take a quarterback. The contract's too lengthy and too much for a quarterback. Take Saquon Barkley. with the number one pick. Now, there are other things that come in. You know, the running back class is a little deeper than normal, but I still think you can take the quarterback with the fourth pick. I don't see one of them being a clear-cut favorite. I don't think you have a Goff and a Carson Wentz. I mean, I don't see that happening. And let's be honest, they could have had either. They could have had Wentz, and we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this. So hopefully their scouting department's better than it was 2 years ago. And, you know, I think Saquon Barkley can help. And it gives us a better fit salary cap-wise with the contract for a running back.
Ann says, Mongo, I almost got the impression last week that you are not much of a cat lover.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Cats are evil. They're lovable. They're lovable and everything. And they come up and they purr. And the next thing you know, they just whack you with their paws. So I'm not much of a cat lover. I'm more of a dog guy. And cats shed, and all that hair around me just not for me.
We have a couple of questions from Frank. First of all, he says, I've never liked Bruce Willis as an actor. Don't really get how he stayed in acting so long. Are there actors you look at and wonder how this guy or gal got a job?
I hate Bruce Willis. I don't like him either as an actor. I got to respect him because, you know, he was married to Demi Moore, and Demi Moore is a very attractive woman, so you got to respect him for that. But, Bruce Willis, the diehards, I mean, it's the same thing kind of with Tom Cruise in 007s or whatever he was doing.
Mission Impossible, yeah.
And, a funny thing is that a guy I know down here was actually gambling with Bruce Willis in Vegas, and he was on the blackjack table with him, and he was in third base, and the dealer had a 6 showing, and Bruce Willis had a 14, and Bruce Willis took the 10. My buddy had $2,000 out on the hand, and then the dealer flipped a 5 for 21. Everybody had stayed. The only person to hit was Bruce on the end of the table, and he cost everybody the money. So I would say that there's not a lot of Bruce Willis fans down here.
Frank also asks, Oscars, fan or no?
The red carpet Oscars, I'm a fan of. I like seeing what the people wear. You know, I might be a little fruity for people to imagine that, but I like to see what they're wearing. It's a night for them to kind of, you know, I guess, you know, exemplify what they do, their work and everything. But as far as watching the Oscars, I ain't watching it. I mean, I'd rather watch a replay of a Major League spring training game and stuff like that. And which is what I've been doing this whole time, is watching Major League spring training games. And I'm just not a big fan, although I do like to see what they're wearing, you know, because everybody loans out their jewelries. The next thing you know, a lady's wearing a 20-carat diamond ring. You're like, what? I want to see this. So I like to see what they're wearing. But as far as who brings home the Oscars, I have no idea.
Fish would like to know, he says, did you see that commercial during the Super Bowl where they were making Doritos for women? If potato chips are changing at all, how about a Pringles can that a guy can fit his hand into?
Right. That's a good point. Pringles cans are tight. I will say that. You know, you got to, and nothing drives me more nuts in a Pringle can is when, you know, because we can't fit our hands in there and we have to shake them down to get a stack of them, right? And then you tip the Pringles can over and they don't go in order and they're all messed up in there. And then the next thing you know, they're chipped and everything like that. That drives me nuts. But yeah, I agree. Pringles cans that are a little bit wider. The problem would be is I think they would have to widen the chip so you would get less cracking, because I'm sure in the shipment of shipping Pringles, I mean, we've all seen UPS. They're not the most, fragile carriers I've ever seen. You know, they throw the package down and stuff like that. So we'd have to make the Pringles a little bigger. And hey, bigger Pringles means more Pringles for me.
Phil would like to know, are you the one that your kids know they are more likely to get away with stuff, or is that your wife?
It varies by kids. My daughter can get away with murder with me, and not so much with her mom. And my son gets away with zero with me and gets away with everything with his mom. So I think it's kind of by kid in my household. I'm harder on my son just because he's getting to that age where he's turning 14 this month. And, I'm starting to treat him like a man, and, you know, there's consequences for your actions and stuff like that, where my daughter's 10 years old, you know, and, she can get away with murder with me and, say some things that she shouldn't say. And, you know, I'm like, hey, we don't say that and stuff like that. Where if my son said it, I'd be a little more harder on him.
And our last question for the week, which is our main question, says, this is from Ashley, who says, if you were pitching to Rob and he was crowding the plate, would you bean him?
That's according to what Rob did off me, you know. According to what kind of questions Rob asked me during the week, did Rob count me out in the playoffs in 2016? I remember that.
Wow.
I remember when he said that. And, you know, there could be some animosity, but, you know, I mean, we don't go out and try to hit people on purpose. And just because they're crowding the plate, that might be their style and stuff. But, you know, you show us up, you do something that's disrespectful. There's a little unwritten rule sometimes that goes along with it. But, you know, I don't like to hit people. I really don't like it because I just feel like I could hurt that guy and stuff like that. But I understand that sometimes it is necessary, and we have to do it to not the unwritten code, but just to let the guy know what you did was wrong or something like that. So, I probably wouldn't hit you right off the bat. I might let you know that that's my plate. Maybe up and in under your chin, but, just to open up the outer half a little bit more, but you don't see that too often. You remember back in the 70s with like a Goose Gossage. I mean, he would knock players down all the time and then go to the outside corner. So I think that's a little bit gone in modern baseball today, is knocking people down and stuff. And you don't really see a lot of people getting hit on purpose too much anymore as well.
I'm just realizing that 10 years from now, I'll still never be living down 2016.
I'll tell you, I used it as motivation. I really did, and I told my guys, people are counting us out, and, we're six games back. We got to find a way to get it done, and, you know, they responded. It was good to see, and, you know, we really were hodgepodged up that year. You know, we had just lost Noah Pereo, and we brought in Brian Johns, and, you know, no offense to Brian Johns, but, you know, he's not going to put up the offensive numbers that Noah Pereo put up. He might turn a double play better and stuff like that, but he's not the offensive player that Noah Pereo was. But you know what? Brian Johns came up with a big walk-off homer in game four of that series with Lincoln to put us up one game with three to play against Texas, or with four to play, one of the two. And it was just a different hero every single night. It was fun to watch. And, we just kind of snuck our way into the playoffs. It didn't work out for us, but it's always fun to be a part of those last four teams standing.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us this week, Steve.
All right, thanks for having me, Rob.
We want to thank Manager Steve Montgomery for joining us on Mound Talk this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Explorers manager, please send them to us at asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Mound Talk.